Good evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting of Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. My name is Brian Edwards Tickert. I'm the chair of the committee. I'd like to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov. Joseph Davis.
Present.
Brian Edwards Tickert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Eileen Rosen. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
Okay, that's eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you, R. Paul. First on the agenda is agenda approval. I circulated a proposed agenda last night. Can I get a motion to approve it?
So moved.
Motion comes from Michael Novick. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the agenda?
Should we read it out for the stream?
It's getting lengthy. It's agenda approval, then minutes approval, then a CFO report with subsections for report, questions, and motions or actions. Continuation of the discussion regarding KPFA, setting our next special meeting. A motion regarding staffing level review from Joseph Davis. A motion regarding advertising from Joseph Davis. A motion regarding broadcast equipment replacement funds from Joseph Davis. A motion referred from the PNB for NFC review, and a policy motion regarding allocating ambiguous donations from me, and another motion regarding staffing level reviews from Michael Novick. In that order. Does anyone want to change anything?
I know, it's fine with me.
Okay. I'm not hearing any amendments. Is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved. We are on to minutes approval. Mr. Secretary, we have minutes for March 15th, correct?
We have minutes from March 15th and March 29th.
Okay. I'll take a motion on the minutes of March 15th.
I move we approve the minutes from March 15th.
Thank you, Barbara. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to those minutes? Hearing none, is there any objection to the minutes of March 15th?
I would like to abstain from voting.
Okay, R. Paul, can you call the roll on March 15th?
Okay, hold on. Okay. The motion is to approve the minutes of the March 15th NFC meeting. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
I abstain.
Adriana Kasanov. Joseph Davis.
Abstain.
Brian Edwards Tickert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Abstain.
Serene Roberts?
Abstain.
Eileen Rosen?
Abstain. I wasn't in the meeting. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Barbara Whipperman?
Yes.
Okay. The vote is 5-4-0 against, 5 abstentions.
Minutes are approved. We're on to the minutes of March 29th, 2016. Can I get a motion?
I move to approve.
Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the minutes of March 29th? Hearing no changes, is there any objection to the minutes of March 29th?
I wish to abstain.
R. Paul, can you call the roll on March 29th, please?
Okay. All right, the motion is to approve the minutes of the March 29th, 2016 meeting. Sam Agarwal.
Yes.
Fred Blair.
Abstain.
Adriana Kasanov. Joseph Davis.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Abstain.
Eileen Rosen.
By the way, it's Rosen. Abstain.
Barbara Wipperman.
Yes.
Okay, 7-4-0 against, 3 abstentions.
The minutes are approved. We are on to the CFO report. I have 30 minutes total, 10 minutes for an opening report, 10 minutes for questions, 10 minutes for any resulting action items. Sam, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. So let me give a brief update. Say first, starting with the fiscal year 14 audit, and I will be brief because I've given a very detailed, updated to the audit committee. So we are almost kind of nearing towards the end of the fiscal year 14 audit. We have provided a majority of the information. There are some issues still remaining outstanding. And generally, the closing procedures are done by the auditors, like the exit interviews, the interviews with the station managers and those things. So still, I would not call it complete. But the one big issue remaining that is outstanding is that they have requested an assessment by the management for the cash flow. If you might recall, in the last presentation, I had expressed, the auditor's concern, the auditor's issue about the going concern. And in that matter, they have requested, a management assessment of the cash flow. So I'm working closely with the stations to put together a documentation. And I have provided templates where they can provide us some meaningful information. And that is consisting of the fund drive details, the major initiatives that they plan to undertake in the foreseeable future, and then the cash flow projections. In case of two units, WPFW and WBAI, it's a little bit more extensive. I'm calling it a kind of a recovery plan, because they are going through some steeper cash shortfall. It's moving along, fairly well. I have had several conference calls, and the local station team is fully aware what needs to be done, and they are putting forward proposals, which I think if they can materialize, then possibly they can meet the cash requirements. So we are looking at both the sides, the cost side of the equation and the revenue side. Like I mentioned, they are also kind of putting together the major initiatives that they are planning, and hopefully we can bridge the gap. Now, I have received many emails. Why do I pick on these two stations when the other stations are also kind of in a similar boat? And I agree with the statement that I would qualify my statement actually that the other stations are also not doing quite well, but they are just able to kind of manage to pay their bills barely. So that's the reason why actually I'm kind of sometimes kind of trying to mention these two stations separately. They are in a little more difficult or more challenging situation. So my aim is here that, if I can complete the cash flow assessment by the end of this month, that would be great, because then we can provide the combined, and then on top of that, actually, we will put together a financial narrative, say whatever initiatives we have taken from the national office and at the corporate level, which can be combined together with the station's efforts, so that say it can paint a reasonably good picture. I will not say that's very optimistic, but somehow if we can convince the auditors that we will be around for the next foreseeable 12 months, they are willing to work with us, and I think they will kind of agree that say the going concern issue should be dropped. So that is my hope, and in terms of timeline, I'm expecting that if we can wrap up all the outstanding issues, because we are having some difficulty in pulling together the documentation that pertains to 2013 and 2014. So the teams are trying very hard, but somehow if we can pull together everything, hopefully if we can complete this by the first week of May, that will be a tremendous achievement, I would say. So that's my first point on my report. That is the update on the audit for fiscal 14. But as the audit is winding down, or at least we have a little bit of a room capacity. So my attention is kind of now moving to fiscal year 15. Completing the books, and what I have been observing, that the books are kind of deficient in many respects. I am kind of very surprised that in the past we have provided only the income statement to the National Finance Committee and to the National Board. We have not been providing the balance sheets or the cash flow statements, and no attention was paid that these are also very important statements. They, along with the income statement, that kind of forms the combined packet. So I'm kind of very surprised when I'm getting the request for different pieces of information. It's difficult to put together any meaningful report, any meaningful information, when the numbers are not have not been prepared. And I don't want to be too technical. Basically, what I mean by balance sheet is, all the accounts receivables or the payables, the central services, the grants accounting, all those kind of things, basically, if they are not complete or incorrect, then the accounting is not really complete. And some of the challenges that, we are facing there is human resources. It's well known that two stations don't have business managers, BFW and BAI, and their accounting is being done at Houston. So that creates a serious bottleneck. The other station, KPFK, also does not have a full-time business manager. I had approved the hiring, and now they are proceeding, with a part-time business manager, which is very critically needed there. And that kind of explains the story why the stations are having so much difficulty, because these stations don't have any financial guidance, which is very important, actually, to run any business. So this is one of the most critical bottleneck that I'm facing in completing the books. Apart from that, the national office, when I joined, I found that the national office actually was also not having the skilled staff. So I have made replacements, and now I'm putting in a lot of time and effort to train them and to bring them up to speed. But we are fairly confident now that we can handle the complexity of the work that is required. So what I have done recently, prepared a very detailed checklist that we have sent out to the stations. And I'm providing guidance how they can complete the books for the fiscal year 15. So as soon as they are completed and we can wrap up the fiscal year 14 audit, then we can invite the auditors to proceed with fiscal year 15 audit. So that was my second point. The third point that I would like to mention, and I would like to update the Finance Committee, is the cash flow. Cash flow is becoming a major concern because now almost all the stations are kind of looking forward to the May drive. All the stations are kind of now experiencing some kind of a cash shortfall. Some stations have not been able to pay the central services and the healthcare dues for several months. And this is impacting the PRA finances very bad. They are not able to make their payroll, and I had to request the other stations to come up with some funding for that unit. This is also impacting the national office finances because we are also dependent on the central services payment. And somehow we are able to continue for some time, but this situation definitely cannot continue for long. So that is the reason actually why I had mentioned in my opening comment that the two stations particularly are under a kind of a recovery plan. And we have to look at them very closely because not only that they are behind in terms of the central services payment, but they are also not able to, meet their day-to-day obligations. And so it is very important that they look at both the aspects, the revenue aspects, and the cost control initiatives. And I may quickly mention here that I've heard a lot of discussion about the cost control, but perhaps it is time that say, we also look at the other side of the equation, and that is the revenue aspect. Because what we have been hearing is that, say, we are coming to a saturation point with the fund drives and with the listener support revenue. So we and some of the stations in particular, say, which I have visited, there the cost control initiative also has very limited impact. The dollars are not there to support the business model that we have. So it is quite important that we look at the other aspect in order to balance the budget. And in that respect, actually, I would encourage the Finance Committee to take a leadership role because the other situation is that, say, if the Finance Committee is not proposing anything or not making a recommendation to the National Board, then it's very difficult to have any meaningful discussion at that level. So let me briefly mention a couple of things that have happened. In the recent past, we have started the process that that we've asked some stations to make some presentations so that say, we can learn from their examples what things are working, what things are not working, and how can we adopt the best practices from those stations and make our fundraise more effective. The second thing is also noteworthy here, I would like to mention, is that say, we have weekly leadership calls. A leadership team from each station, we have a conference call every Wednesday, and one of the call was devoted to, finding additional sources of revenue. And it was very encouraging that, say, there was a unanimous consent, amongst all the station managers and the leadership team on certain proposals, on certain recommendations. So I would be very happy to share those recommendations when the Finance Committee undertakes this discussion in kind of full steam. So these would be kind of my highlights for the developments that have happened just recently in the last 15 days or so. So I can take any questions if there may be any.
Okay, I'll take a stack on questions. And again, we have a separate item for motions. Questions.
President Davis.
I've got Joseph. Who else?
Michael.
Joseph and Michael. Who else? Okay, we'll start with you, Joseph. Go ahead.
I mentioned earlier that KPFT, we have staff that is excessive. I literally had staff brag to me they have nothing to do, they're not doing because somebody else isn't doing anything. And I would also remind you that at our station, we've looked at our own budget, and we know for a fact that we're doing nothing. We've been losing listener support and our listener membership levels have been dropping because we have put absolutely nothing into advertising or trying to do anything to maintain these levels of support. And I think it's really important that we try to go ahead and redress these issues, because just going on to something new from a bunch of people who've already, I mean, frankly, I don't have a lot of confidence in people who've already driven us into the economic situation that we're in, because the very people you're talking about are the people who put us in here. So I would appreciate what if we could do something about evaluating our current staffing levels, verifying that we actually are properly leveled. I know at KPFT it needs to be examined, and see what we can do about making, because that will happen immediately. Whereas I'm concerned that if we make some of these long-term efforts, well, they're not going to return funds for quite some time anyway. So we need to do something to get ourselves financially for that one. That's all.
Okay. There wasn't a question mark at the end, but Sam, did you want to respond to anything?
Yeah, my suggestion would be that, say, we have to go by station by station, actually. It's really not my job for the staff evaluation and those things. I look at mostly the dollars, and I look at the cost-to-benefit analysis, because I'm also watching that, say, we are losing productive capacity in some of the stations where the cost cuts have been quite deep. So we just have to have a thoughtful analysis, and I'm not against any proposal, any idea.
Well, that's what I want, the analysis.
Right. And we do have two agenda items on that. Michael, you're next.
I had a couple of questions. One is based on the February financials that you sent us. Just looking at it, you know, in a big picture way, if you look at the consolidated statement, it shows that, the four fiscal years, 2011 through 2014, we raised about $10.5 million a year in listener support, and each of the years are pretty close to the average. In 2015, we only raised 8.75. And for the current fiscal year, it's might be able to get that high. It looks like it's a little bit off even that average. And breaking it down by station, KPFA is, you know, basically right now doing what their average was for those 4 years. Their monthly average of listener support was 290,000, and for the 5 months, it's 1,036,000, which is, you know, just a few thousand off. KPFK is not quite as good, but it's down to about 240 a month from 260. KPFC is actually doing a little better than their average, but WBAI last year dropped from an annual average of 2,400,000 to 1,300,000, and this year is down substantially from that. The 5 year average there for a month was 205,000, and they've only raised about 2 months worth in 5 months. PFW similarly substantially off from their average. Annual average is about 1,250,000. 100,000 a month, and for 5 months they haven't, you know, raised that $500,000 over 5 months. So I think that's the serious problem. The fundamental serious problem is reduced listener support, reflecting reduced listenership. And we can find some other substitute maybe, but anything you do that's related to listeners, you have to be able to have the listeners to attract other kinds of support. So I'd appreciate any comments you might have about that. The other question I have is whether, based on the work that's been done on the fiscal year 2014 audit at this point, if you have any feeling that that has led to being able to have a faster turnaround on the 2015 audit.
Sam?
So let me address. Those are very good points, Michael. I definitely appreciate your comments. And like say I had stated earlier, that say we are heavily dependent on the listener support revenue. And we are seeing declining trends, and that is becoming very obvious. And in my comment also, I have stated that say the time has come that we should be looking at additional sources of revenue. Now, I don't mean to say that, say, we go outside the Pacifica mission. Keeping within the mission, how can we be more flexible and how can we be more open? That would be the challenge that, say, we have at this time. But it is very critical because, like I said, that, say, we should not be compromising our programming or cutting down our productive capacity. This is unfortunately happening, at some stations. So we have to really give a very serious thought to this. And again, I would highly recommend that the National Finance Committee takes a lead on this, because otherwise this thought process cannot come from any other body. Now, quickly moving to your another question about the lessons learned, from the fiscal year 14 audit and how we can apply those to fiscal year 15. The most important lesson that, say, we learned was that, the documentation was not in order. We somehow had to rush through the audit. The auditors have a process that, say, we have to upload the documentation on their website. And we invited them when we were about 75 to 80% complete because we did not want to waste time. So this time we are trying to make sure that, say, we are more thoroughly prepared and more documentation available before we invite them, because it is not so efficient and, it takes a lot of time. So those are the kind of things that we learned. But there's no substitute for the lack of human resources that, say, we are finding. And definitely the skills that are needed to process that information and to prepare the information that is needed. That definitely is a work in process at this time, and I'm doing my level best to expedite that as quickly as possible.
Okay, I had one other quick comment in relation to what you were saying about the not having the only getting P&L, not getting a balance sheet and the other documents. And all I can do is inform you that the KPFK local station-wide finance committee, you know, has been requesting those documents, over and over and over again for the several years that I was treasurer and before that and subsequent. I think we're still asking for it. So, the story we were told was because the 2013 audit wasn't done, they couldn't close the books. But anything that could be presented based on the books that were closed for 2013 that you can present, retroactively for what the balance sheet was at that point, we would love to see it. And then
it's in the 2013 audit, Michael.
Okay.
You have a copy of it, right?
Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll take a look again.
You can definitely find out what our balances were 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
All right, stacks back open for questions. If you'd like to be on staff for questions, say your name. If no one does, we'll move on.
R. Paul,
who else?
Eileen.
Eileen, and I apologize, Eileen. I should have welcomed you to the committee at the beginning. Thank you for volunteering to join the madness.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really, can I just take a second to say hello to everybody? I'm really not up to speed. I'm in the middle of my own audit, and I had another sort of pseudo audit last week, so I've been a little overwhelmed. But I would love, I'm not sure if I've gotten copies of what Sam was saying he'd sent out to people. So I'd love to have a look at them if I can get them sent or... Hello?
Yeah, so
Eileen, are you on the National Finance Committee list yet? Have you been getting any emails through the other group?
I think Nancy may have just added me or asked for me to be added. I don't think I've gotten anything yet. I've barely had time to check my email these past few days, so.
Sure. Paul, can you check her status?
I'll check the mm-hmm. status, and I was informed by Michael Washington earlier today that there's been a change, and I sent the invitation out earlier today, so if she hasn't seen it yet, then she hasn't joined the list yet, but the invitation is out, and as soon as she accepts the invitation, she will be on the list.
Is she me?
Yeah, yes, you.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, who's speaking right now?
My name is R. Paul Martin. I'm the secretary, and
okay.
I am looking in here, and we have 10 names on the list, so that means the 11th would be you. And so as soon as you accept the invitation, you will be on the list, and you'll get all the emails. And I guess you'll also be able to get on to the website, the Yahoo website of the mailing list and all of that good stuff.
Oh, I did get an invitation to a Yahoo group, but I had no idea what it was.
That's both a listserv we use to communicate with each other. It's also the repository of all our previous correspondence, so you can go through things that have been sent out. I'm going to send your personal address a copy of our most recent consolidated financial statements, and then you can dig through the archives for the rest of that.
Okay.
Paul, you were on stack for a question.
Yes, okay. I should not be talking into the mouse. I should be talking into the telephone, like I just did. All right. This is actually about the consolidated. And so overall, all of Pacifica put together is at about $149,000 in the black. And what I'm seeing is that, of course, we have five stations, the national office and the archives. And of those seven, four are in the red. This is a problem here, obviously. And another fast note before I say something about that, you will note that in this income statement, you're showing WBAI's tower rental as $48,047. However, from information from the general manager and from the draft budget that was proposed by the general manager, it's showing the monthly tower rental as $55,000. And if it's not $55,000, we should find out that. If it is $55,000, we should find out why we have this $13,000 difference. Well, what is that? $7,000 difference between the two numbers. In terms of listener support and all of that, I agree with what Michael said, that if you don't have enough listeners, then initiatives aimed at your listeners aren't going to work out so well. And again, I think, although it's not within the purview of this committee, I think that we need to look at our one and only real product, and that is the air. If the air can't get enough people to listen to it, then we really have to look at that. Going outside of the air, going outside of the on-air fundraisers and having various other kinds of fundraisers starts to raise the question of what is the business we're in and how are we fulfilling the Pacifica mission if we can't get enough people to listen to the air. I mean, if we do something off-air that raises millions of dollars rapidly, I'm sure we'd all be glad of that, but we would still, in that case, need to examine why is the air generally throughout the network not getting the requisite number of listeners to keep the operation going. And I think the Pacifica needs to look at that, and I don't think we've been looking at that enough. Anyway, that's There's a question or two in there and a few other things, so I'm done.
Okay, and we are past time on questions as well. Sam, did you want to respond to anything from our poll?
No, there was a number of statements, and if there's any discrepancy in the tower rent, I can mention that the tower rent is not $55,000. It could be as per lease agreement, but we are not paying that much. So apart from that, actually, he had some statements, some thoughts that say that I don't have any comment on that.
Okay. And Eileen, did you have a question for the CFO, or did we resolve what you wanted to deal with? Okay. Well, I'm taking your silence as a no. We have room for any motions or actions flowing from the CFO report. Sam, I heard you say the Finance Committee should take leads on things. I wasn't clear exactly what. Is there something you're asking us to recommend action to the National Board on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a kind of very passionate discussion. I mean, whenever we talk about the additional sources of funding, so I thought that, say, the National Finance Committee will be the proper platform where we can throw open the discussion and we can resolve or we can, revolve the discussion around certain proposals. And then if the Finance Committee feels strongly, then we can move those proposals, for the approval of the National Board. And in that respect, share with you the recommendations that have been raised by or made by the leadership team. So I don't know exactly how the process or how that should be worked out, but that would be my recommendation.
Barbara for the stack.
Well, Sam, you're a member of the committee. You can make proposals for the committee to debate and vote on. And if we don't know what the suggestions from the leadership team are, it's hard for us to act on them.
Okay.
I've got.
Yeah, in that case, definitely I'll make a proposal. I don't know whether we have time today or maybe later.
Well, we have time on the agenda for proposals resulting from your report. Do you want to make one now?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the proposals that there was a unanimous agreement on is to hire a national business development director, and whether it could be on a part-time basis, on a consulting basis, who can, make coordinated efforts from the national office across all stations, can approach the foundations, which are not so much kind of dependent on the audit statements, and which can be a source of revenue, kind of considered to be kind of major donor revenue support. This is something that can be handled quickly, and the reason why I say that actually because we have an urgent need to pay the audit fee, which is coming out to be about 100 to 125K. And we don't have the money to pay the fee. So what means are being employed right now, I don't know. And I can't say much because I don't see any. So that is the reason why I strongly recommend that the Finance Committee can consider this, this proposal.
Do you have an estimated cost and proposed source for the funds?
Yeah, so that, it doesn't become very controversial. I would suggest that, we start out with a very modest budget of $15,000 over 3 months, and which should be shared by few stations which can bear the cost and the national office, and it should be a pay-as-you-go basis so that, when in a couple of months, I think we should be able to get enough money back from these efforts, and it should pay on its own. If it does not, and it becomes more a kind of a liability, then the program should be discontinued in 3 months with just an expenditure of maybe $10,000 to $15,000.
Okay. Okay, I'll take a stack on discussion. At some point, we'll have to put that into motion form if we want to dispose of it today. I heard Barbara.
R. Paul.
I just heard R. Paul. Who else? Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I actually wanted to ask that we do hear the leadership team proposals, and so this does sound like the main one. I'd like only a brief answer to this, and then I have another part of my question. Were there any other proposals as consequential as the one you've just made or told us about?
Yeah, so there was unanimous agreement on the, on underwriting, efforts.
Underwriting. Okay, underwriting. I don't want to go into that. I just want to know what it was.
Yeah. So because it is controversial, so I put it, on the, not on the top of the list.
Yeah, fine. And, oh dear, now I've forgotten. Yes, okay, the $15,000 for 3 months. I'm a little skeptical that that's enough, but I know you're spending a lot of time and effort and analyzing things well, so I'm hopeful that you have some reason to think that would be enough of a start to get a development director who could seek funds, even though we don't have the completed audits that we need usually. Can you say something about that?
Yeah, so you're very right, actually. I'm kind of hesitant myself in making the proposal or making the recommendation. $15,000 is not an appropriate amount by any standard. But then I don't want this to be a roadblock. That it may not move anywhere. Mm-hmm. I don't want to propose a budget of, say, maybe $100,000, because mm-hmm. then it will be shot down.
Right.
So I'm kind of hanging here by a ray of hope, mm-hmm. so to speak.
And that we would find some kind person who would love us so much that they would do such a job.
That is also true.
Yes. Okay. That's all.
Paul.
Okay. All right. You're saying that the audit at this time needs between $100,000 and $125,000. That we need to pay that much?
We have an outstanding bill of $75,000 right away, as per the bills that we have received, and there are some audit procedures that have not been completed. So my estimate is about $100,000. Then on top, and this is after the payments that we have made already. On top of that, we have the fee for the taxation services, the filing of the Form 990, which generally costs between, say, about $20,000 to $25,000.
Okay. My memory is that we were told a month or so ago that we needed $70,000 to get the audit to happen. And that figure is now 100 to 125, and it sounds like there's maybe other stuff in there. What is the first of all, am I right that it's gone from about 70 to the low three figures, and to what is the absolute total, adding everything up, we need to get the audits done at this time figure?
So you're right that, say, the engagement letter that was signed, that had an amount of $70,000. I don't know how that estimate was given and how that was worked upon, because in the past 2 years, in fiscal year 2012 and 2013, we have paid upwards of $130,000, $130,000 and $150,000. So I cannot imagine how that estimate of $70,000 was worked upon. I had given my estimate to the audit committee also, because the same question was raised, and I had given a total estimate of $150,000. So right now I stand by my estimate that, say, the total amount that we will have to pay, ultimately, all said and done, will be in that range.
Okay. I'm going to throw something out in motion form so we can get to some closure on this. My proposal is that we pass the following. The National Finance Committee requests the CFO and Executive Director present a proposal to engage a national development consultant. The proposal should include, one, the proposed consultant's qualifications and experience, two, the proposed scope of work, deliverables, and timeline, and three, the estimated cost and recommended source of funds. I've just sent that out to the committee. We'll take a snack on discussion of that.
Barbara?
Yeah, I have a question on that. Would this development person look into fundraising opportunities other than grants and foundations? Would they be advising?
So, Eileen, when you want the floor, I want you to just say your name and then wait for me to call on you. But the language of the motion does not specify the type of money to be raised. So it's asking for a proposal to specify what they would be pursuing. Barbara.
Well, my comment is brief. I like what you have just read, and I personally, as a member of the committee, would vote in favor of that.
Anyone else to stack on that motion?
Yeah, Tony.
Okay, I've got Tony. Who else? Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah, I want to speak in favor of it, but my only concern is, and I'm very concerned about the source of the funding. We really got to nail that part down. I don't argue about it's needed and that we need to move forward quickly on it, but we really need to focus in on where we're going to get the funds to do it, other pending issues with it. So that would be my concern, but I would support it, yeah.
Anyone else to stack on this? Paul, do you have a copy of the language of the motion yet?
Yeah, I can read it. Motion is, the NFC requests the CFO and ED present a proposal to engage a national development consultant. The proposal should include, one, the proposed consultant's qualifications and experience, two, the proposed scope of work, deliverables, and timeline, three, the estimated cost and recommended source of funds.
Okay. Does anyone object to that motion? Well, hearing none, the motion is passed by acclamation, and we are well past time for the CFO report. The next item on our agenda is a continuation of the discussion regarding KPFA. We, by motion, put this on our agenda at our last meeting. Because some members of the committee had concerns that they hadn't had enough time to review the documents that came from KPFA. KPFA's business manager, Maria Negrette, had hoped to be able to join us tonight, but ran into some complications with the surgery she was having shortly after our last meeting and is not up to it yet. So, if members of the committee have questions, Barbara and I can try to answer them and can certainly promise to run down and report back answers to anything we don't know. Anybody?
I had some. Hold on a second.
Sure.
I'm losing something. I just... Okay. Somebody else wants to go ahead. Let them go ahead. Somebody say something?
Anybody else to stack on KPFA? I think you may be the...
Michael,
was that Joseph? Okay. Michael... All right, anybody else? Okay, I'll take Joseph, then Michael, then I'm putting you at the bottom of the stack, R. Paul. Go ahead, Joseph.
I just was
wonder if there was any clarification on the comment made last time about how they had made all these cost-cutting measures and that they had done a good job of getting their costs down, but then they were saying they were understaffed at this point. So does that mean they actually need to increase their budget in personnel expenses? And if there could be some clarification on what they mean by that and what the situation is. Thank you.
Well, I don't think either of us can speak to what they mean, but there's no plans we've been advised of to increase staffing at KPFA. I don't know if that satisfies your question.
Who is the they that he's referring to?
Quincy and Maria.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if there's anyone here that can even answer it. So that's okay. Thank you.
Michael.
I guess my question really looks back at the past. I'm wondering how you analyze it. I'm looking at the consolidated income statement then for KPFA, and so for net income or loss for KPFA for 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, the station operated a loss every one of those years under the, you know, as under our financial record keeping, where we accrue all the central service payments, whether they're paid or not. For 2015, you actually showed a $500,000 operating surplus, and I'm wondering how you managed to turn that around and whether you think it's going to carry forward.
We hired a manager.
Well, and we inherited $550,000.
Okay.
We didn't get to spend it all, but we hired. Got it.
I mean, that's the KPFA at the very beginning of fiscal year 2015 went through some small staffing reductions, some hour cuts in two positions that were closed through attrition, and cut the redesign of our website, lowered our ongoing maintenance and consulting costs associated with IT. That's what happened on the cost side. On the income side, we inherited a lot of money, and our fund drives have been raising more per day for most of the last year than in the past. But most of the benefit from increased fundraising efficiency we've put into shortening the length of our fund drives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, well, that's sort of reversing the vicious cycle that most of the rest of us are in, so that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, I was just wondering if there are any, you know, sterling lessons that you could share with the rest of the network that would help us duplicate the...
I think we're all in very different situations. You know, KPFA has the biggest staff in the network, even though, and I'm a member of that staff, even though we all feel underworked and under-resourced. You know, I think...
Underworked, you mean underpaid for
overworked. Overworked, sorry, and under-resourced.
Yeah.
I think we have more headroom than other stations to make judicious cost cuts without compromising our basic operations. I think other stations have kind of run out of options. Mostly run out of options on that front.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have a relatively large subscriber base. It is declining slowly, but right now it's the largest in the network.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been trying to kind of reboot our relationship with the listeners we have and promise them shorter fund drives if they help us meet certain fundraising goals. And so far, we've been able to hold up our end of the bargain on that, and they've been responding to it. But I don't think we could have done that reboot without that large inheritance. So I don't know what you can generalize from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I had something else I wanted to raise. I've raised this before, and I'm in looking at this thing, I'm not quite fair with that emotion, but if you look at sort of every station for those 5 years, you know, the previous 5 years, KPFK showed a net income only in the first year and losses thereafter. KPFT showed a net income for the second year, but losses in all the others. BAI just showed losses right across. I mean, it's red. You know, PFW, little income in the first year and losses for all the rest. And so I have two thoughts about that. One is that we need to incorporate the central services into our total operating expenses as opposed to having it as a separate item, because it creates an illusion about the state of our finances at each station that somehow, oh, well, we're covering our revenue is meeting our total operating expenses. But when you look at the bottom line, which incorporates the central services, it doesn't. And I think that accruing those is part of what creates all the confusion about what our financial state is. So I'm wondering about changing how we format that on our spreadsheets and everything else so that everybody's aware what the actual expense of operating the station is, that it includes the central services payments that have to be made. And the second thing is, I think we should look at the formula, which we haven't changed, because the in basing the formula on the previous 4 or 5 year average, it's now creating, particularly here at KPFK, but probably others too, actually, central services expenses that are now disproportionate to what our actual income is at the stations.
Yeah, we should be able to reassess that based on 2014 numbers as soon as the audit's complete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I believe we did it through the last one. We averaged through 2013.
Yeah,
Barbara for the stack.
Thank you.
Okay, I have R. Paul Martin and then Barbara. Go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay. One second. All right. Yes, some of the things are. I'm glad to hear, by the way, the CFO talk about we need a balance sheet and cash flow as well as the income, because we've been saying that for years, and we've been saying that at BAI, and we need to do it. You had said last time that the deficit that was shown for KPFA was actually balanced because in March you made enough that largely wiped out the deficit. Because it's showing as 113 in the red for the first 5 months, but that goes through February. So if in March we got more, have you looked at that more, and have you seen that maybe it's maybe wiped out the deficit, or is it very, very thin, the deficit?
We don't have – well, actually, Sam, I guess, has seen income statements, preliminary draft income statements through March. What I know is that I asked our MemSys database operator about listener support collections in March, and that was $160,000 better than budget. So you're asking about a slightly different thing, which is the cumulative deficit. The budget shows us breaking even at the end of the year, so if we're better than budget, we're better than breaking even. Over a full cycle. What happens with February and March is that our fund drive begins halfway through February and ends in the first days of March, but the budget template for the purpose of forecasting collections doesn't distinguish between a fund drive that starts halfway through the month, where most of the collections will be in the subsequent month, and a fund drive that starts on the first of the month, where a big chunk of the collections would be during the same month. So most of our credit cards got run in early March,
okay,
basically, which makes February look poor, and it gets made up in March.
All right, but you're saying it is actually balancing out because of what you saw in March, or very
yes,
close.
Yes, that is my back of the napkin estimation of where
right,
we are.
Right. And finally, I'd like to pitch here. The national office should really look at the income statements and this mix of cash and accrual that we constantly get. And I agree that we should maybe maybe do the central services accounting a bit differently. The mix of cash and accrual we get is it can make the income statements. They're a minefield if you don't know what you know what thing is which, and you then have to say, okay, it says this, but does it mean that? And it would be better, I think, if we could have managed to not mix cash and accrual in that way, so that we had a better fix on what's actually going on. And that's it.
Okay, and Barbara, how do you want to stack next?
Well, I just wanted to remind us all that, in fact, we did change how central services was calculated not too long ago. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it again, but, you know, I just want to remind us that we've been experimenting kind of in the record-keeping way of how to do this. So it should be a subject that is open to somebody's analysis. Sam has just come into the organization not too long ago, and maybe, you know, with the experience that he's had so far, he may see something that would be a better way to handle this. I had another little thing, but I forgot. And that's the main thing I wanted to say when I said my name.
Okay. I've got Joseph. Anyone else on KPFA? Okay, we're basically at time, so I'm going to close the stack there. Go ahead, Joseph.
I wanted to quickly add, at KPFT, we were told one time that we'd gotten a different payment level for the central services fee than other stations for some reason. I don't know why. And I just think that it is important that it should be the same for all stations and included, so I support the notion and that it should be and fair included in the budget. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Our next item is the schedule for our next special meeting. So Sam had proposed that we schedule a special meeting for each financial unit and work our way through the network. So the two questions are, when should we schedule our next meeting for? I tentatively proposed Tuesday, May 3rd, although Serene Roberts wrote me to say she has a conflict with the Governance Committee that night. And who should we take up next? And I guess the question would be to Sam, what financial unit do you think would be in the best position to give us accurate books and accurate financial statements and supporting documents like KPFA did on a roughly two-week time frame from now?
Yeah, I would suggest KPFT, and we can have the analysis based on the March statements, so that will give enough time, because by then the April statements will not be closed. And I say I definitely should put in a word of praise, actually, that somehow they have been able to manage their finances well. Touch wood, I mean, keeping fingers crossed, but I think they are in a good position to kind of make a presentation.
Okay, so the proposal will be for KPFT, and then the question is on the date. I propose Tuesday, May 3rd, which is 2 weeks from now.
May 4th is open on the KPFTX calendar, Wednesday.
Let's see. Does anybody here have a conflict on Wednesday, May 4th? Okay. Sorry, my calendar is being glitchy. Give me 1 second to get there. Okay, I can make that work as well. So the proposal will be...
Green on, can she... Is that still okay for her?
Well, she said her conflict was on May 3rd. And if there's nothing on the KPFTX calendar, that means we're not in conflict with any currently planned committee or LSB meetings. Okay. So the proposal then would be to schedule a special meeting of the National Finance Committee devoted exclusively to reviewing the financial performance of KPFT on Wednesday, May 4th. Beginning at 8:30 Eastern. Paul, were your fingers keeping up with that, or should I type it out and send it to you?
One, you should type it out and send it no matter what, and I will read what I've got.
Okay.
To schedule a special meeting devoted to KPFT on May 4th, and you wanted to add something more than just devoted to KPFT, so what exactly did you want to say about it?
You know what, the template language is in the agenda. We just need to fill in the station and replace the date.
Grab that out of here. Okay, so it will be, let's go down to this. Oh, what was that? Okay. Well, there's a lot of stuff in this agenda here, so scrolling down. All right, hold on.
Item 5.
Okay. Schedule. I got the thing here, so hold on 1 second. Okay. To schedule a special meeting of the National Finance Committee devoted exclusively to reviewing the financial performance of KPFT on Wednesday, May 4th, beginning at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, that would be it, right?
That is it, sir.
Okay. All right, so that's it.
Okay. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to that motion? Does anyone object to that motion?
One fast question, and of course, the previous motion passed by the committee about getting the stuff ahead of time and all of that is in effect.
I believe so. I don't remember the specifics offhand. If you're concerned, you can always incorporate it into this motion.
No, I'm not concerned. I just wanted us all to say yes. And I mean, it obviously is in the wording of that previous motion. And I just wanted us to say yes so that everybody knows it. And everybody knows it.
And do you, what was the time frame? 48 hours, R. Paul?
Two business days before the whole thing. If you want, I can read you that motion.
No. I'll take your word for it.
At least 2 business days in advance.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? Okay. Hearing no objection, the special meeting is scheduled by acclamation for Wednesday, May 4th to deal with KPFT. So, who is going to work with Dwayne and Markeisha on assembling those documents, the same documents that KPFA did, and giving them to this committee by Monday, May 2nd? Is that?
I can talk to them.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Sam. Okay, we're done with item 5. We're on to Joseph Davis's motion regarding staffing level review. And Joseph, I wasn't clear because you on the list requested that someone help with wording for a motion, and Michael responded with something that is itemized on our agenda as item 11. I guess my question is, do they address the same purpose, and should we be taking them both up at the same time?
I think the only thing different than what I was talking about on the list was in more of a short-term kind of emergency proposal, considering what our current cash situation is, versus what the original proposal from item 6 was, kind of an ongoing standing process where every once in a while we need to do a workforce analysis and make sure our workforce is properly balanced.
So let me read what item 6 is. I'm going to, if it's all right with you, I'll skip the whereas It says, I propose we either hire an independent workforce analysis company to perform a time and work analysis of each station's employees, both in and out of pledge drive, or we choose a sample station such as KPFT to have a work analysis performed, then establish expected man hours of work to be expected to perform needed tasks, and then apply those expectations to other stations.
Correct. That was kind of the wording I originally came up with. I do think it's important that we have we start getting a handle on these things. What I've seen around KPFT is I think that it's not well managed, and I think we do need to get that into our ritual of function. One way or another, whether this is the right wording for that or not, I don't know.
And then Michael's language under item 11, I'm just going to read them out so everybody knows what's in play. The NFC proposes that the PNB instruct the interim executive director to direct each of the station general managers and the manager of the Pacifica Radio Archives to produce by May 15th a job description for all paid staff and managers and a chart incorporating average hours worked weekly on each assignment in order to help ascertain best practices in regard to economical staffing, effective oversight, and increased productivity and effectiveness. The chart should also include the hours, cost, and responsibilities of any consultants at the station. If significant production, promotion, or other work is being done by unpaid staff, that should also be included. The PNB should further instruct the IED and CFO to produce a similar chart for the Pacifica National Office. So I guess my question to you, Joseph, is do you want your motion considered on its own, or do you want Michael's considered in lieu of your motion?
Considering the timing right now, I think it would be best to consider Michael's first.
Okay. Is there any objection to taking that up out of order? So for your eyeballs, we're looking at item 11 on the agenda. We're taking that up out of order without objection. You just heard me read the motion. I will take a stack for discussion.
Yeah, this is Sam.
Sam, who else? All right, I'll throw myself on. Anyone else? Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I think the proposal imposes undue burden on the workforce analysis. Because right now I'm not seeing extra staffing, particularly with respect to at least three or four stations, including the national office. We are already short-staffed, and the proposed timeline, if I see that May 15, that hardly provides any time to do this analysis. The other thing is that, say, most of the employees that we have, they are not in kind of those so-called blue-collar jobs where we can conduct a time and motion study. This is requiring soft skills, and it's very difficult to compare one employee to another employee or one skill level to another skill level. So I don't think that this proposal can prove any or can demonstrate any, credible information, whether we are understaffed or overstaffed or how effective we are utilizing our human resources. So I think it's, I really don't understand the point of this motion.
Barbara,
I have a question, sir.
Okay, I've got Barbara. Question.
You were next.
Yeah, question takes precedence. What's your question, Serene?
What is the number on the current agenda of the item we're looking at?
We're taking up item 11, but out of order.
Right, thanks.
So I am worried that the level of detail that the motion is asking for is too much, particularly on paid staff. It's about 200 producers at KPFA. I'm sure it's comparable at other stations. I do think that this type of review is potentially very useful. I know when KPFA had to make cuts about a year and a half ago, they did detailed took a detailed look at the shift schedule, and found that a couple people were being paid overlapping hours to run the board, which was an easy situation to fix without to save money without hurting the station operations. I'll think over changes to this, but I think maybe we could start with asking for a detailed organizational chart, you know, titles and reporting relationships from each station. And that would give us some basis for comparison, and we can ask for more detail. Barbara.
Well,
Michael,
I think it's a good idea to, you know, analyze once in a while, but as long as we've been putting off the necessary thing of spending money on a development director, I don't think we can spend money on this, although I'm not saying this isn't a good idea. I do like what you just said, Brian, of having organizational charts to just examine who's reporting to whom and start the analysis that way. I think that can be done without spending a lot of money.
Joseph Davis?
I've got Michael, then Joseph. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah,
Sorry, Serena, I didn't hear you. I'll put you before Joseph. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, just to say, I put the motion forward in response to Joseph asking for somebody to come up with some language. I don't have a big stake in this particular motion. I'm not trying to increase people's burdens. I do think, if you want to strike the unpaid staff, that's fine. I think something that my main point was really that I don't think you can compare apples and oranges in each of the five stations is different, so that trying to do a workflow at one of them is not going to be all that helpful for any of the others. So it should just be something that comes out of the management of each station. I realize that people have plenty of else on their plates, so I have no. If people want to change the language, that's fine with me, or minimize what we're asking the management to produce.
Okay, I've got Serene, then Joseph. Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so I'm good with the organizational chart because the stations are quite different from each other and nothing like, a retail business. So the organizational charts are fine. I think May 15th, although I know people are preparing for Fund Drive, I don't think this is so massive a task that they can't accomplish it by May 15th when we should begin looking at next year's budgets anyway. So this leads right into that. I think it should happen. I would also ask that there be and I've asked for this previously. I know everyone's busy doing many things, but I think it's important that we have a study of whether or have a report of where, if and where overtime is being used in the network. If in fact the scheduling of staff is such that we are incurring, double time or time and a half or whatever the case is for certain individuals, then obviously the schedules would need to be adjusted. So I understand that there's not apparently a heavy record of it, but I'd like to get that report. So I would ask for an organizational chart as well as a report of any overtime usage.
Sam, your office processes payroll. Does anybody get overtime in has anybody gotten overtime in the network during the time you've been there?
Yeah, there's a little bit of an overtime, actually, and because this is a personal issue, so I did not feel like responding to Serene's email. I cannot disclose the names. I've seen a little bit of overtime at the PFW, WPFW station, but not much.
Sure.
Serene?
Okay. I respectfully don't understand that response, that because it's a personnel issue, he didn't feel like responding to my query.
I don't understand.
Well, he's not going to tell you the names of people who've earned overtime on a public stream.
I didn't ask that on a stream. I asked this by email about 2 months ago. So that's what I'm saying. I'm raising it here because I got nowhere there.
Okay. Well, does his answer satisfy your question, or would you like
more detailed?
No,
I want the specifics, and I think there's overtime happening at BAI.
Okay.
I'd like to know exactly whether or not that's the case, and if so, where.
Okay, then I would encourage you to put that in motion form, and we can vote on it, or amendment form. Joseph, you're next.
I was just going to add, because Sam said something about if it didn't apply to certain kinds of employees, with the exception of three of our personnel at KPFT, all the remaining staff are either technical or clerical in the work that they do, either providing technical support at the station or handling donations and pledges and things like this, and processing all these things, or the reception desk, whatnot, which is why I think that those, since that's probably 10 or more jobs, certainly that could be examined with these kinds of methods. I certainly agree that we should probably limit it to paid staff at this time, because that would be where we would, if there's anything recognized, that we could immediately benefit from it. Also, when you talk about in the structure, I think it would also be a good idea to ask for job descriptions. I'm not worried about overtime. I don't think we have any at the KPFT. And in fact, actually, I would point out that occasionally overtime is a good sign, because if we have so much staff that we never have any overtime, then we're probably carrying too many benefit costs for having staff that never ever gets fully utilized. So, but that's neither here nor there for now. Suffice to say, I like the job descriptions, limited to paid staff, and at least examine all the non-executive jobs that are basically technical, clerical, or easily quantifiable. Thank you.
Okay, I've sent out language for a proposed substitute. It reads as follows. The NFC recommends that the PNB direct the IED to compile organizational charts from all units that list titles and principal responsibilities of all consultants and employees.
I had made my overtime request an amendment to that. I'm sending it now.
Okay. Arpal, did you get a copy of my email?
I have your email. I've posted it into my notes for the... Okay, now I got to go up to... I have to go up here. All right. Your email is hit, but the other one has not hit yet. One second. Let me try to get in there. Yeah, yours is up, and I don't have the other amendment yet.
Serena, have you sent that yet, or are you still tapping at it?
I'm about to hit send. Thanks.
Okay.
Got it?
Not yet. The interwebs are taking their minutes.
Yeah, I use May 15th, but I need to check a calendar and see if that's actually a weekday.
We've got it.
It's on the website. Just have to make it open.
So the amendment is, and that a report of any overtime being generated be prepared and submitted by May 15th, 2016.
Which is actually a Sunday, so I guess we'll do the 16th then.
Well, May 15th is a Sunday. nothing that says they can't do it before then. In any case, what are you, you're changing the language, Doreen?
Yeah, let's what's the payroll, Sam? The 16th and the 31st, or the 1st and the 15th? Or Brian, actually.
15th and last day of the month. It's semi-monthly.
Okay, so the 16th that way, yeah. The 16th, the Monday,
okay.
Thanks.
So the amendment is to add to the end of the motion the following words, and that a report of any overtime being generated be prepared and submitted by May 16th, 2016. Any objection to the amendment?
A point of information.
What's your question, Michael?
Does the May 16th apply to all of it or just to the overtime?
As I read it, it applies to everything. Is that your intent,
okay.
Serene?
Yes.
Okay. Fine.
Is there any objection to the amendment?
Okay, so let's see. All right. Okay. So we have your substitute, and we have this amendment to your substitute, right?
Correct.
Okay.
So you will turn the period at the end of my substitute into a comma. And
right.
Then append Serene's language.
And so no one wanted to do any actual amendment of the original motion that was on the floor, because we have to look at it that way. Right? These are the only things to it.
While a substitute is under consideration, I believe the main motion is separately subject to amendment if anyone wants to do so.
No, actually the rule is that you have to do all your amending to the first main motion, and after you're done with that, you go to the substitute and whatever you want to do with that. But I think that in this case, we've sort of just gotten away from it, and I would, unless somebody loudly objects, I would suggest that we just go with these two amendments here.
Okay. Is there any objection? Sure. Michael?
I'm wondering if you could add in addition to list titles and principal responsibilities, assigned hours, titles, comma, principal responsibilities, and assigned hours of all consultants and employees.
I don't know what you mean by assigned hours. Do you mean like full-time equivalency?
Shift?
No, for each, I don't know how your staff is divided, but I'm saying full-time equivalence is the total. I'm talking about if you have somebody who's assigned as a board op for 6 hours a week or 8 hours a week, or somebody who's assigned as
of an FTE.
Barbara, let him finish.
Sorry.
That's what I mean. Any way you want to phrase it, I want to know.
So you mean like
working?
You mean a breakout of hours by area of responsibility?
At least by employee. I would like it. I'm hearing there's too onerous to do it by area of responsibility, but I'd like to know at least how many hours people are working.
How many hours each employee has?
Yeah.
Well, that would be captured by full-time equivalency, right? I only ask because I was confused by the language of assigned hours.
Okay. Any way you want to phrase it that you think makes sense with the way people handle it?
Oh, I just want to make sure I'm not misconstruing your intent. Does full-time equivalencies fill what you were looking for?
I'm not sure. I think of full-time equivalencies as being what is the total full-time equivalency of the whole staff. If you're saying it applies to each individual, that's fine.
Yeah. So one person's at 0.8 FTEs, one person's at 0.5 FTEs.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Did you submit that in writing, Michael, or?
No, I didn't.
Are you in a position to do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's do this. Let's clear Serene's amendment. Is there any objection to Serene's language? Okay. Hearing none, we'll take Michael's as a second amendment. An amendment to the substitute as amended.
Okay, I sent that in.
Got it. The reply in the same thread. Do you have it, Arpal?
Yeah, hold on 1 second, and I will copy it out here and plug this in. Okay, let me read what I have. The amendment would be, I guess, to add, right? We're going to add somewhere on this?
We're inserting the words and FTEs.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. He's giving us the whole thing. So, to insert, all right, so it would be to insert the words, quote, and FTEs.
Yeah, it's striking the and between titles and principal responsibilities and adding an and after.
Oh, God. All right. Okay, so the motion is to strike. Tell me exactly what you want. The motion is to strike, and then tell me what
I'm changing titles and principal responsibilities to titles, comma, principal responsibilities, comma, and FTEs of all consultants and employees.
I sense
that is a commendable use of the Oxford comma, Michael. Paul, do you have it?
I'm trying to to strike titles and principles and make it list titles, comma, and FTEs. Okay. All right.
Could you give us a dramatic rendition of how the substitute would read? If amended?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, if amended. All right. Hold on. That will require putting this on it also. So give me a second. And I will get that. And... okay. And if... so, let me know if this is right. The motion would... if this amendment passes, the motion would read, the NFC recommends that the PNB direct the IED to compile organizational charts from all units that list titles, comma, principal responsibilities and FTEs of all consultants and employees, and that a report of any overtime being generated being prepared and submitted by May 16th, 2016, right?
That is correct to my ears. Michael, was it correct to your ears?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Is there any objection to amending the motion so it would read as our Paul Martin just read it? Hearing no objection, it's now amended. Is there any objection to substituting the motion as amended? Hearing no objection, it's now substituted, which means it's now the main motion. Is there any objection? Hearing none, it is now passed by acclamation. Okay, we're now back to item 7 on our agenda. This is a motion regarding advertising from Joseph Davis. This is a long one, Joseph. Does everybody have a copy of the agenda in front of them? I'm sorry. If someone's listening on speakerphone, can you please either pick up the receiver or mute yourself? I'm hearing my voice come back in my own ear. Test test. Okay, that works now. Is there anybody who doesn't have a copy of the agenda in front of them who can't read it for themselves rather than have it read out loud to them?
For the stream node, aren't we... aren't we required to do these things aloud for the stream, I should say?
I know of no requirement. It's probably good form.
Email.
Well, but the emails are not available to the public. All right, Joseph, you want to give us a reading of the motion?
Can I read the motion without the whereases?
Yes.
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, that would simplify it considerably.
Oh.
I propose we examine our historical expenditures on traditional advertising as far back as we can, specifically looking what methods of advertising were used and how listenership levels were affected in the periods that advertising would likely have affected them. I further propose we immediately research the cost of a billboard in the Houston area with a unique contact listing that will allow us to recognize specific traffic generated by that advertisement. I also propose we can engage with a local like-minded nonprofit to share the cost of such a billboard by dividing the visible area into two or three sections. I propose the amount of 5% of each station's budget be reserved for traditional advertising, possibly requiring that funding be routed through the national office to ensure it isn't diverted otherwise. So those are the non-whereas parts of the motion. And I, just to motivate it, I'd like to add that it seems like there's kind of a fight, there's a prejudice, I think, against an old-fashioned kind of advertising, and there seems to be a lot of push against it, yet I drive around a lot of the Houston freeways in Houston, and literally there are many, many, at least a dozen radio stations with billboards being used. And so either A, these people are all idiots, or maybe it's just as we have kind of developed our own prejudice against that particular form of advertising. I also had a point that we talked about hiring a consultant to get one single donations that could be significant. But whereas this kind of advertising could dramatically increase our listenership, we've been losing listenership for some time. And here in Houston, we have basically for the last several years, my last 4 or 5 years, I've been involved with KPFT and assisted on many of the outreach programs. They rarely involve more than 4 or 5 people going out to an event, passing out maybe 100 or so flyers. And it's just looking at the math, it's like it's unlikely we would have even gained more than 100 members in a year from everything that we do collectively in the year, whereas something like a billboard on a major road, while relatively expensive, possibly, you know, between $4,000 and $10,000 a month, could literally reach thousands of listeners and dramatically increase our listenership. And if we were to gain 1,000 listeners over a year, it could count for anywhere from several $100,000 return in ongoing revenue that might last for years. And, of course, in Houston, we have 6 freeways. We can move these things around and don't even have to worry about the saturation effect of hitting the same people every day for too long. And I think that it's important that we don't, it's like what Sam talked about earlier was these new methods of fundraising. But since I know for a fact that KPFT has basically left traditional fundraising behind, it's not a trend that we're losing our listenerships. It's inevitable. When you do absolutely nothing to reach out to the public that is here in the Houston vicinity, of course we're losing members. People leave town, they die, they're just going away, and we've done almost nothing to recover that number. And we do need to have some levels of traditional advertising to just make sure we keep our membership levels up to reasonable levels. And that's my motivation for this.
Barbara for the staff.
Okay.
And Serene.
I've got Barbara, Serene, I heard our Paul. Who else would like to be
Michael.
On stack on this? Michael, who else?
Michael.
I heard Michael. Anybody else to stack? Okay. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, Joseph, I admire how you've laid this all out. I would disagree with at least from my point of view, about the prejudice against advertising. I think that my hesitance or problem with dealing with it has been, again, cost, you know, whether we have money or not. And I'm not saying that it wouldn't be produce something if we did advertise. We did have one experience last year where a number of people decided they wanted to go to a community not far from where the station is, but one that they felt didn't have enough connection to the station, and made a big effort to contact a lot of people and wanted to advertise, but there wasn't any money to put up signs on the sides of buses and that sort of thing. I would like to have us do a couple of things instead of what you're proposing right now. I think this might be good for future, but I think somebody, perhaps our chair, should ask the GMs whether or not they've been discussing this, and do they have any suggestions that they've come up with, and just as an initial step to see if, in addition to their talking about we need a development director, have they been talking about this advertising problem and what ideas they have? And also, I think that the finance committee and possibly the CFO should encourage all the stations to consider finding a way to put advertising, some form of it, some amount, into their budgets that they're soon going to be preparing. I sort of think that would be a way for this committee to proceed on this issue.
Serena, you next.
Okay, so I would actually like to offer a substitute motion, which I do not yet have in writing. Along some of it, I think.
Do you want me to bump you down the stack while you work on it, so we don't have to put you on twice?
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Okay. Paul, you're next.
Okay. Letting people know we exist is perfectly fine and good. Regarding seeing all those radio stations advertising, at BAI, we have at times had people going from BAI to commercial radio stations. And they've talked about what happens, and we've heard various things. And we have, in fact, seen like bus advertisements for radio stations in New York City. We even, at one point, had one of the people from BAI who went to a commercial radio station had her face on the side of a bus and said, listen to her. However, that same person brought to us the information that the people who run the commercial radio stations are of the opinion, from experience, that the effect of advertising the radio station is not to raise your listenership, because they say it doesn't do that. The reason why they put people's faces on the sides of buses and say listen to X on our radio station is a morale booster and a sort of reward to that particular person. Because you got to understand that these commercial radio stations, it's about the money you're getting and other stuff you're getting, and it's not like, you know, the Pacifica stations where we're overwhelmingly unpaid staff and we're in there doing something we believe in and all of that. And so the basic bottom line from the New York City commercial radio stations is that the advertising is absolutely not for getting more listeners, and it does not have that effect. And so I don't think that getting billboard ads for rather large sums of money is really going to be effective. And if people think it will in some way be, there is also the fact that you would then be competing against these commercial radio stations who I kind of suspect might have would have a bigger budget than Pacifica would, and would also have more they would have advertising firms doing this for them. So you would have a lot of competition for doing something the goal of which is not what we think it is. And so I'm kind of leery of this. If people would like to have some sort of a study or look to see if this is viable, that would be one thing. But to say, let's just go right in and do it, I think we're not ready for that. I think we're too unpracticed. Pacifica, this isn't our area of expertise, And we should at least look at this, not jump into it thinking it does one thing when in fact it does another. That's it.
Okay, Serene, pipe up when you've got motion language. Next on the stack, I have Michael.
Have it.
Can you add straight to the stack, too?
Was that, Joseph, you want to go back on stack?
I'm sorry, did you want me?
No, I'm sorry. I heard someone pipe up. I thought that was your voice.
It was
Did
Fred.
Someone else ask to be on stack?
Yeah, Fred.
Fred. Sorry.
And, Brian, I was saying I have the language. I was checking to see if you guys have it. After Fred, of course.
Well, the stack I have is then Michael. I had written myself down
okay.
after Michael, and then Fred. But, Serene, you had a spot higher than any of us if you'd like to go now.
Sure. Did you guys get the substitute?
Yes, it came through the list.
Okay. The NFC recommends that the PNB direct all GMs to provide a report by May 16th, 2016 on all attempts of advertising over the past 5 years. I'm sorry, on all attempts that should probably be at advertising over the past 5 years, including types, costs, and any known results. And just not part of the motion, but types are, you know, whether it's on buses or taxis or highway billboards or internet or whatever the case is.
Okay, that is the substitute. Substitute generates a new stack. So, anybody wish to discuss this?
Joseph Davis.
Michael.
Joseph, Michael, who else?
Harpaul.
Harpaul. Who else? All right, go ahead, Joseph.
I just want to say I think I should support what Serene has come up with. It sounds like there's some resistance to going too far, but just getting some good data would help us take a look at it. So I'm supportive. Thank you.
Thank you, Joseph. Michael?
Barbara for the check.
Michael, you're next.
Yeah, so I want to share the experience at KPFK where our previous interim general manager went ahead and did a bunch of billboard advertising and bus bench advertising, kind of off budget and busting the budget with no appreciable effect. I mean, for the year, our overall listen support diminished during that calendar year. I think that in my mind, I think with money spent on remote broadcasting from different areas is probably the best form of advertising we can do. And in general, I think that what Arpaul was saying about advertising that promotes stations, most of the radio station advertising you see here in LA also is not for the station. It's for some personality who already has a following, often has changed stations, and they're just letting you know that that personality is now on their station. I don't think we have a product that's comparable.
Arpaul.
I don't know that.
Hold on. He's dialing his smartphone. Everybody finally changed position on his phone if you're not using the command.
That's not dialing. That's something stuck.
Okay. Oh, well, it's six now. Go ahead, Arpaul.
Okay. all right. The deadline of May 16th for something like this, given that we've got the general managers are supposed to start getting information for the audits and all of this, and all the stuff I heard the CFO saying that the station management is being tasked with at this time, I don't know that we should demand something by May 16th. I think give them some extra leeway time in there because they're going to have to do stuff for the national office. They're going to have to deal with their...
Arpaul, let me suggest that if you'd like a different deadline, you propose it as an amendment
right.
so we're not just spinning our wheels.
Yeah, all right. How about, let me look at the calendar here for one second.
End of the fiscal year?
How about July 5th?
I would object.
Well, you can certainly object. We're just going to get it on the table so that we can debate it instead of just spinning our wheels. So you're proposing to change the deadline to July 5th, Arpal?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you want to continue motivating?
Yeah. I mean, if somebody wants to come up with a better one, I want to give them some time to do this because, as I just said, we're giving them loads of stuff to do, and I also think that if they look at it and if they start consulting with people outside of Pacifica, they may find that it's not something we can really get into. So with that in mind, I think I would deprioritize this advertising analysis to put it in back of the on-air fundraisers and the national office work that must be done. That's it.
Okay, the amendment generates a separate stack. I hope we won't debate the actual date for too long. Anyone wish to speak for or against July 5th?
Yes.
Barbara?
It's actually to speak against making a particular date. And I don't know what this is, so you can tell me if it's all out of whack. But starting with what Serene wrote down, which is really asking for historical data, I would suggest adding only these words. And any advertising discussions that the GMs currently have, they've been currently under discussion, not researching new stuff, just are there any things that they've been talking about now? And I would suggest that we ask them to report this to us or the PNB, whoever they're supposed to report it to, as soon as possible, hopefully before we get through with budget cycle for the next year.
Joseph Davis?
And Serene, too.
Okay, I've got Joseph, and then I've got Serene. And this is just on the question of switching the deadline to July 5th. Go ahead, Joseph.
Well, I think what Serene was asking for, again, is just getting data. I don't think that's going to require much research on their part. I do think that I wouldn't want them to delay any other work for this, but I think July 5th might be a reasonable date, giving them plenty of time to put it together. But I think it's important to have a date so that there is some deadline and doesn't just get put off forever. Thank you.
Serene, on July 5th.
So I would like the date to remain what it is. If they need more time, they can say that. We passed a programming committee motion last June in LA with an August deadline or maybe a July deadline that was then extended to August. We're still waiting for those reports. So no, July 5th is not something that I would seriously consider. I would say leave it at May 16th. If they need an extra week or two, they'll ask for it.
Well, I'm going to throw in my 2 cents. I don't like throwing two different tasks with the same deadline on a station management that's already stretched thin. And I think at four of our five stations, our management has not been around for 5 years, so they would have to dig through records to figure out what had been spent during the period we're requesting data from. That's not as simple as tapping out an email. So I support July 5th, and if there's no one else on the stack, we'll vote on the amendment before we continue debate on the substitute. All right, I'm not hearing anyone else to stack. Arpal, can you call the roll on changing the deadline to July 5th?
Okay, 1 second. Okay, the amendment on the floor is to amend the amendment to make the deadline July 5th. Sam Agarwal. Senator Garwal? I didn't hear anything. Fred Blair?
I'm going to abstain.
Adriana Kasanov? Joseph Davis?
Yes.
Brian Edwards Teekert?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
No.
Eileen Rosen?
Rosen, if you don't mind. Yes.
Rosen, oh, sorry. Barbara Whipperman?
Abstain.
Going back, Sam Agarwal?
Yes.
Okay, it's 7-4, one against, two abstentions.
Now we're on the substitute as amended. If I'm reading my stack right, I had R. Paul, then Barbara, then me remaining. And we have a minute left until our adjournment time. R. Paul?
Pass.
Barbara?
I don't object to what's happening here strongly, but I do have different ideas about how this ought to be done, the advertising in, you know, quote. So I think I'm going to pass also at this point because I don't want to prolong the discussion.
Okay. Well, I'm very happy with the substitute. I was concerned that we had a motion that was both asking us to do research and also asking us to allocate $500,000 based on the research we hadn't done yet. I think this is our discussion has borne fruit, and I like it. I'll just throw out a cautionary note about billboards. One reason you see a lot of radio billboards is that because the largest commercial chain owner of radio stations, the company formerly known as Clear Channel, now iHeartMedia, is also the largest owner of billboards in the country. I think they give themselves a very good rate. And I don't necessarily know that they're the people we want to be spending our money with. At any rate, we will go to a vote on this. Well, is there any objection to the substitute?
Should I read it so everybody gets it?
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. The amendment as amended is the NFC recommends that the PNB direct all GM general managers to provide a report by July 5th, 2016 on all attempts of advertising over the past 5 years, including types, costs, and any known results.
Chair.
Serene?
I had changed that of to at advertising.
Paul, can you note that?
Okay, on all attempts at advertising. Okay.
All right. Is there any objection to that substitute? Hearing none, it's now the main motion. Is there any objection?
Can you read the main thing now that we're at the...
It's what R. Paul just read.
Oh, I thought he didn't start at the beginning. Sorry.
Any objection? Hearing none, it is passed by acclamation, and we are all adjourned. I will look forward to talking to all of you on May 4th. Thank you so much for your work, everybody.
Thank you for chairing.
Good night.